Hello and welcome back to the Akeras Habayis Parenting and Behavior Management Hotline. We're happy to have you back again. I'm going to go over some of the housekeeping details which have changed since last week. My name is Sari Yaroslavets. That, of course, stayed the same. But the number to reach me if you need to leave messages is 718-506-9057 or 845-678-8360. Either number will reach a menu where you dial extension 4 in the Chizuk and Inspiration menu. Again, I'm going to repeat the numbers for convenience. Try to put them in a comfortable location, 718-506-9057 or 845-678-8360. Extension 4 for the Chizuk and Inspiration menu. For those of you who don't know me as of yet, feel free to access session 1, which was last week. Akeras Habayis is going to be archiving the session so that you can listen to them retroactively. And that's a good idea because the sessions do follow some kind of a sequence, and I think that's a very, very good idea. The one thing I will repeat from last week is that I had resisted for many, many, many years doing parenting over the phone or by recorded venue simply because I didn't want to give over something as chashuv as parenting techniques to people that I didn't know who they were or didn't know if they were learning the techniques properly or if there was an opportunity for mistakes to happen, which none of us want to take achrayas for. So because of that, I'm urging you all, I'm demanding from you all, and a lot of you did do your homework, and thank you very much for all of you that left messages, that I expect to hear from you. I would like to hear from you. The number that I gave you previously leads to a computer. Your phone calls are confidential and you can keep them anonymous. They will not be heard by anyone. They're not blasting in somebody's living room or kitchen. It's entirely private. Feel free to talk your heart out. I will pick up the messages, as you will see today, and I do tailor make the next session according to the questions that you leave me in combination with what I had planned to discuss. So, for those of you who are a little bit shy, try to get over that. Remember, chinuch is not a recipe for kakash cake, that if we make a mistake and flop it, we throw out the dough. These techniques are extremely important. If we make mistakes, then they're on the backs of our children, chalila, and that we don't want. So once again, I'm urging you to feel free if there's anything that I say during these sessions that doesn't sit right with you, that frightens you, that annoys you, that scares you, that you're don't understand, feel free to leave a message. I will address it, Amir to Hashem. One of the beautiful messages that I got over the course of this week directed us to a very, very, very important question and issue that gets asked over and over and over again, and I am going to address it now. The question that comes up is, if our mothers and grandmothers managed to raise beautiful Erlicha children, why do today's mothers need parenting classes? What has happened to today's mothers, or worse yet, what has happened to today's world that causes us to need parenting classes? Heintige mothers knew what to do. They learned whatever they had to learn at home. Nobody had to teach it to them. We don't want new ideas. We don't want new, how do you call it, new concepts. This is very, very important. So I'm going to ask a question which will help us respond to the question that was asked, and that is, what is the definition of raising good Yiddisha Erlicha Doiris? If our mothers and grandmothers were able to raise good Yiddisha Kindlech, what does that mean? So the mashal that I'm going to give to help you understand it is, your house is like a factory. And basically, the factory, let's say the factory produces computers. So imagine if I would take you to a factory that produced computers, and I would show you that these are very special computers that this factory produces. Not only does the factory produce computers, the factory produces these computers, and these computers can produce their own computers. For example, if I told you that I was taking you to a factory that produced cars, but these were very special cars because the cars themselves can produce another car. That is the factory that you have in your house. You have in your house a factory that produces children, and those children will produce children, Amir Tashem. So the question is, it's not good enough to say my mother or grandmother produced wonderful children. The question is, did your mother or grandmother produce children that could effectively produce more children? That could effectively be mechanech, the next generation of children? That is the question. So the issue at hand, ever since we've gone through the Milchama, ever since we went through the camps and Hitler, is what damage was done to the Dar. So even if we were blessed and benched with what I call post-Mageifa Siyata Deshmaya, a very special Siyata Deshmaya that the Ribbono Shel'Olam gave as the Yidden came out of the Chorban and reached the shores of United States of America and Eretz Yisrael and other locations, and were able to build, and they taka built families. We don't know with what kaychas. We taka don't know with what kaychas. The question is, did the children that they produce, were they effectively able to produce the next dar, and was that next dar able to produce another dar? So it's not good enough to say, my mother raised Erlicha children. Did your mother raise Erlicha children that are capable of producing another dar? And that is the goal of chinuch. The goal of chinuch is to raise your children in such a way that they will be able to take your teaching and pass it on to the next generation. That's what chinuch is all about. And because we're not always 100% sure of that, and because we really don't know whether that effectiveness exists, we're being super, super careful and making sure to grow and learn as much as possible, as best as we can. Now, I'm going to go over the sentence. There's a sentence that's being said. My mother and grandmother were able to raise children all by themselves. My mother and grandmother were able to, knew what to do at home without an issue, and were able to raise good Erlicha Yiddish Adiris. So I have an issue with that statement, because basically what I'm hearing through the general vibes is, Kochi va'otzem yadi asa li as a chayil hazeh. I raised kids that turned out okay. Therefore, I don't need classes. In other words, I don't hear the Ribbono Shel'Olam here anywhere. I don't hear him being included. All I hear is that if I raised children so well, why do I need help? Why do I need to learn more? Because I did it so well. It's about saying, if it's the same thing as saying, if somebody was in real estate 30 years ago and he says, well, I went into real estate and I made a lot of money, and therefore it is always a very good idea to go into real estate because my choice of profession, real estate, works. Okay, so fast forward the tape 30 years, and we find that taka, those in real estate maybe are not having such an easy time right now. So what's missing? What's missing is the Ribbono Shel'Olam from that statement. Kochi va'otzem yadi asa li asa chayel hazeh. Kochi, that my strength, va'otzem yadi, and the strength of my hand, made for me the success, the chayel hazeh, the success that I had. That's a little scary. We're not supposed to think that way. We're not supposed to speak that way. If a person exercises good technique and good chinuch strategies, and their children turn out okay, are we allowed to say it is because I performed these strategies that my children turned out okay? Are we permitted to say that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The only reason our children turned out okay is because the Eibishter, with his tremendous amount of chesed and tremendous amount of help, allowed it to be, benched us so that we were going to have that hatzlacha. The same holds true with parnasa. The same holds true with everything else. I'm going to apply it to my daughter, because many, many, many hundreds of people have come over to me over the last 27 years and say to me, and I cringe, and I stop them. Oh, what you did. Stop right there. What I did not cause the hatzlacha. What I did was nothing more than hishtadlus. What I did was nothing more than me saying to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, I'm going to try. Everything else was in his hands. There is no connection between the Hishtadlus and the Hatzlacha. The Hishtadlus is our directed effort toward the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Hatzlacha is the Ribbono Shel Olam's bracha back down to us. There is, it's, I always say, it's like a highway with one lane going each way, but there's a double yellow line between the two lanes. For those of you who drive, you know what that means. That means you may not ever pass from one lane to the other. So one lane is going from down to up. That's the Hishtadlus. We try. And another lane is going from up to down. That's the bracha. The Ribbono Shel Olam sends this bracha. And there is no communication between those two lanes. There is a double yellow line between the two lanes. I may not ever think or say that what Hishtadlus I direct up toward Shemayim is in any way linked to the bracha that the Ribbono Shel Olam sends back down. There is a double yellow line between these two lanes. So if one is going to say, I raised beautiful children, therefore I shouldn't need classes, one is saying that the techniques that one used caused the Hatzlacha. And that's not correct. So basically the reason we offer parenting classes today, the reason this Dar is more into parenting classes and parenting techniques is simply because the Dar around us is getting so difficult, because the environment that our children are being raised in is getting worse and worse and worse and worse by the second, that we have to bolster ourselves and insulate ourselves and get ourselves stronger and stronger to combat this Yetzer Hara that the Ribbono Shel Olam has been sending in our direction. And the same holds true with so many different areas of Yiddishkeit. We've gotten better and tighter in many, many, many things. I'm not going to get into examples, but reading material is one. It used to be that we didn't need so much Jewish reading material. Now we need it, so it's there. There were many, many times that we didn't need things the same way, and therefore it wasn't there. Once the Ribbono Shel Olam sent the difficulties surrounding the Dar, we bolstered ourselves by providing ourselves with extra ammunition to fight back. And that's all that these parenting courses are. That's extra ammunition to make sure that people raise children correctly in a world that is so difficult, in a world where the concepts that are necessary, where Torah concepts almost don't exist. There are times where things change. There were times in our history where things happened because of what we call Haras Shah, because of the emergency in the environment, that the Rabbanim have seen fit to make changes. One of the most famous ones happened, just about 100 years ago, for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, right? Torah was not learned by girls. To this day, the Torah tells us that girls are not supposed to learn Torah. Girls are not supposed to learn Torah. They're taka not supposed to. But what happened 100 years ago? What happened? We know what happened. What happened in Poland and in Europe in general is that the Aviva got so, the environment got so toxic that we were losing our girls. Girls were at home. They were cooking and baking and supposedly learning what they were supposed to be learning from their mothers. And the environment got so tough that the hashpah just infiltrated through the walls of our homes and got to the point where we were in danger of losing our girls. Enter center stage, a woman by the name of Sarah Schneera 100 years ago, and came up with this new and novel and anti-Torah idea. Girls should learn. They should go to school. They should learn Torah. Can you imagine? I can't even begin to imagine what they must have done to this poor woman. It's as if one of us would wake up one morning and decide that the only way to save Klal Yisrael is if women would, put on tefillin? Get aliyahs? Some preposterous idea that was completely against the workings of the Torah. And she met up with an amazing amount of resistance, as we all know. And we all know the story about how she fought and battled her way to all of the doors of all the Gedalim. And eventually, they saw the need. They saw what she was talking about. They saw that it was what we call a Hora'as Sha'a, an emergency. And therefore, for pikuach nefesh sake, for saving Klal Yisrael, the Chafetz Chaim, the Ger Reb, they gave her haskama, and Beis Yaakov was born. By her 75th and 75th yard site, there was some kind of an asifa for girls in the Continental Arena in New Jersey. And I decided I wanted to go. So a friend of mine and I got into the car, and we left late because I had work and I couldn't take off work early. So I came a little bit late, but I figured better late than never. And I got to the entrance. I was driving, and I got to the entrance of the parking lot, and the parking attendant waved me through, and he said to me, "Private cars, we park at the very, 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 very end of the parking lot. Keep going past all the school buses, and then you'll get to the private vehicle parking." So I followed instructions, and I got my parking permit, and I started driving, and I drove, 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 and as I drove, I saw hundreds and 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 hundreds of yellow, empty parked school buses. Beis Yaakov of this, Beis Yaakov of that, Beis Yaakov of here, Beis Yaakov of there, Benos Yaakov of this, Benos Tzion of that. But I looked at the buses, the empty buses, and I started to cry. And I thought to myself, Bashefa, I hope he brings Sarah Schneera down just to see the buses. Just to see, would this woman have imagined that she would be responsible for a parking lot full of hundreds and hundreds of buses? In my life, I don't think I'll ever see, or did see, so many Beis Yaakov empty parked school buses in one location. And by the time I parked my car, I was sobbing. It was so moving. It was so moving to see the buses, never mind the children. So we see that there are times where one individual or a group of individuals, L'shem Shamayim, with the backing of Gedolim, will make a change, where things do change. Torah never changes, but things do. And there are times where we take the Torah and we make sure we preserve it, and we make sure that it continues to exist based on the needs of the environment, based on the toxicity, the poison environment that we sometimes have to deal with in our gullus. And that's what happened there. And in a very, very, very abbreviated manner, in a very, very, very shortened degree, we are dealing with some minor changes that we make throughout to make sure we preserve Torah and Klal Yisrael. Now, most people, when they think of parenting classes, they're afraid that we're going to bring in some newfangled secular psychological ideas from the outside. And the answer to that is never, 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 never. Parenting and chinuch is purely about preserving the Torah and the Torah concepts of chinuch. The problem is that preserving Torah concepts of chinuch is much more difficult today than it was two generations back or three generations back, unfortunately. Simply because we've got the internet, we've got preetzus problems, we've got sneeze problems like we've never had. We're living in times where there's no yes and there's no, and there's no day and there's no night and there's no concept of structure or rules. Back in Europe, when there was a czar and a nobleman and a duke, the concept of authority was a little bit more in existence. Today, look at our president. We just don't have what we need to hold together the structure. And because of that, we have to do it for ourselves. Because of that, we have to bolster up on our hishtadlus lane of the highway and make sure we try extra hard by providing support, chinuch classes, support groups where people can exchange ideas and make sure that they don't lose the scope of chinuch because the environment has become this poisonous. So for those of you who are worried that we're bringing in any new ideas, not to worry. Absolutely not to worry. The goal of this is the same goal as yours, to take the Torah and the Torah's perspective on Kibbud Av V'Em and make sure we don't chalila lose it because we're being exposed to so much trash. When I think back as a little girl, some of the things that were considered chutzpah when I was a little girl, and some of the things that our kids say today, just by matter of nature, we don't even hear it anymore. When I was a little kid, if I said to my father, "Oh no," or "Oh yeah," or "Yaha," or "Nah-uh," do you know what happened? Shtel zechvar, figure it out. Today, we don't even hear that our children speak that way. So if we didn't have classes to point these things out, if we didn't have classes to make sure people remember what chinuch is supposed to look like, what will we look like in a generation or two from now, chas v'shalom? So the goal of this is to preserve and to protect asu siyog la Torah, to make gedarim, to make fences around the Torah, and be very, very, very careful not to let the outside in. I'm going to call attention also to one other question that came along this week that was a little bit out of sequence, but yet it was extremely important. I want to address it. Somebody called in about a young child who is extremely impulsive, extremely labedic, very lovable, getting into trouble all the time, can't handle a no, can't handle when things don't go his way, must have everything, etc., etc. I'm sure there are many, many, this is an extremely normal situation, and I'm sure there are many, many, many such children growing up today who just, out of sheer lack of technique, just don't have their limits and boundaries set for them properly. It's premature, it's early for me to go into technique. My plan wasn't to go into technique bechlal at this point. One of the ways I teach is I first teach principles. Principles, rules, and understanding. It makes no sense to teach somebody a technique if they don't understand clearly and absolutely why they're doing the technique. The technique has to last beyond the scope of these shiurim. The technique has to last when I'm not around to reinforce it, when I'm not around to give you chizuk. The technique has to last because you believe in it. And if you don't know what you believe in, and if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you'll have trouble maintaining or having stamina for long-range passing on of this technique. So because of that, I don't like to teach technique. I try very hard not to teach technique unless I've really clearly and carefully covered the principles. So when someone calls me and says, what should I do about X or Y or Z situation, and we're dealing with lesson two of a series, then obviously we're nowhere near ready to answer the question, what should I do? Because I don't want anybody doing anything unless they know what they're doing. I will offer one tip, though, just because it's something that I'm going to ask eventually. If there is a child who's doing a lot of no-nos, who's doing a lot of things they're not supposed to be doing, we call these, in my class, I label these los ases, as opposed to ases. Ases are things we tell children to do. Los ases are things we tell children not to do. Just the same way the Rabbanu Shalom divides up the Torah with us. We have ases and los ases. I divide up chinuch into ases and los ases for parents and children. So an ase would be go brush your teeth, or go please get into bed, or pick up the blocks. That's an ase. And a los ase would be where children do things that they're not supposed to do. Now, in our Mahalach, one of the things that I'm going to teach you is that los ases aren't spoken about. We don't use language and speech when we address los ases. What makes the philosophy that I teach a little bit different is that if, for example, there's a breakable vase on a table and a child is reaching for the breakable vase, the rest of the world out there calls out to the child, don't touch the vase, right? You all know that. Don't touch the vase. And for reasons that I'm going to explain in future sessions, the child goes and touches the vase. So what we do is we step right over to the vase and we take it away with our mouths closed, without talking about it. We just separate without comment. That's the name of the technique. Separate without comment. So if a child spills something, or knocks something over, or throws something down, or hits a baby, or does anything they're not supposed to do, just remove the child from whatever it is or whoever they weren't supposed to be involved with your mouth closed, without saying anything. The reason for this is that speech and language are extremely powerful, as we know, and provide a reinforcing quality to the los ases. So if you say, don't spill or don't hit, you can be sure that child has to hit again or spill again at some point simply because you said it. So this is, it's early for you to understand this. So for those of you that have questions, and I'm sure you will, feel free to call in and I will spend some more time next time going over the reinforcement aspect. But for right now, just know that speaking about something makes it real. So if you talk about it, it becomes reinforced and strong enough to repeat itself in the brain so that the child will redo the action or do the action again. What I'm asking you to do is separate the child's coloring on the walls with a crayon. Instead of saying, "How many times did I tell you not to color on the wall?" just walk over and take the crayon away. Separate without comment. This applies to young children. This technique is only for young children, somewhere up until about the age of 8 or 9. And generally speaking, it works very well. Usually, by the time a person has engaged in separating without comments for a period of about 6 weeks, usually by that time we start to see a reduction in low sase behaviors. We start to see a lot of them going away. So you're not ignoring them, you're not letting the child color your entire wall red. You're stepping in and you're separating, but you're not discussing it. You're not spending time with negative speech and speech that it could reinforce the negative behavior. So this is one tip I'm going to offer our specific caller who called in about a child who does a lot of negative things. It's the one tip I can offer for now at this point. I can't offer very much yet because I have a lot more to teach. I am going to tell you that the magic of 6 weeks, the reason I mentioned 6 weeks is because, according to Noam Elimelech, the minimum time that it takes to change a midah is 40 days. And 6 weeks is 40 days, it's 42 days, it's approximately 6 weeks. There is a certain magic to 6 weeks. It took me years and years and years to figure out what it must be. I used to find that in therapy sessions. I used to find that I would begin seeing progress at 6 weeks. I also found it's interesting that if any of you, like myself, have ever been on a diet, how many pounds does it take until somebody finally notices that you lost weight? About 10 pounds. How long does it take to lose 10 pounds? Depending how old you are and who you are, of course, approximately 6 weeks. So 6 weeks has a magic to it, and it's the 40-day piece. And so generally, a lot of the things that I'm going to introduce you to, I'm going to ask you to try for 6 weeks for that reason. So for right now, it's a good idea for us to stop talking about the negative things that our children are doing. Just separate them from it calmly, with a gentle face, not with an angry face. There's no anger here. We're not angry. And to just separate without comment. I'm going to add one other comment before I sign off, and that is it's quite common for parents to say to me, "Doesn't he know he's not an only child? He's not an only child. I can't give him 100% individual attention." Bear in mind that yes, that's true. Baruch Hashem, your children are not only children. And we hope and pray that all children that are only children should eventually become non-only children. But for those children who are not only children, they have a right to want to be. We call them only children wannabes. Children do need your individual attention, your undivided attention. It is not a crime that they want to be only children. I know in the reality they're not, but please let's not have tinies on them for wanting to be only children, for being only children wannabes. Let us understand from their perspective that they are entitled to want, as my Schwer used to say, Meg's villain. They can want. We can't deliver everything that they want, but they are not criminals for wanting. So I just want to make that point clear before I sign off. Once again, for those of you who signed in, throughout this recording, any questions, comments, anything you have to say, 718-506-9057, 845-678-8360, extension 4. On the Chizuk and Inspiration menu. I want to wish everybody have an easy and meaningful fast. We should be zeicha to Mashiach b'mehera v'yameinu and have a very good week. Thank you.